Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Let's start today's sermon with the unfolding of a scene. It's a sunny day, and you see a 9-year-old girl in a summer dress and pigtails skipping down the sidewalk. Her eyes sparkle with the innocent happiness so common among children. Not a worry in the world. She's on her way to the playground at the end of the street, and if you listen, you can hear her whistling a little tune along the way. Now, here's where things get interesting. The playground at the end of the street is in a park, but there's something unique about this particular park on this particular day. It's on fire. You can see both the fire and the girl. And your eyes dart back and forth between the two as she gets closer and closer. Does the little girl not see where she's headed? She's still whistling, as merry as ever. She must not see her impending doom. Now, you can't get to the little girl to warn her. All you can do is watch the scene play out as she gets closer and closer to the fire. Surely she must see where she's headed at this point. She has to know the park is in flames. It's right in front of her now. Yet she whistles and skips with joy in her heart. How can this be? It's so because our happy little girl is a representation of the Christian. And the playground she frolics toward is Judgment Day. Yes, it comes with a consuming fire, but the Christian knows that this fire is nothing to fear. God's wrath is nothing to fear. Why? Well, because the Christian knows what the Lord said to Abram all those years ago. Fear not, I am your shield. Our sermon text this morning is from our epistle reading, 1 John 4:16 to 21. Starting a couple verses above, it says, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world." We've seen and testified to it. "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us." And that's 1 John 4:14 to 19. We're going to stop right there. Did you catch what St. John wrote about fear? The Christian confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. God abides in the Christian, and God is love. Therefore, love abides in the Christian, and it is perfected with us. So that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. Okay, the little girl in our scene is the Christian. She's you. It's not that she doesn't see that the park's on fire. She's not ignorant. Her head's not in the sand. She sees exactly what's coming, and she keeps right on trucking for it, whistling Dixie, as they say. Why? Because of the love of God that abides in her, the love that casts out fear, which is being perfected with us. God loves you. God loves you. Friends, you're sinners. You sin against God and against your neighbor every single day. Every one of you does it. Nobody is above reproach in that regard. You are a sinner. In this way, you're just like anybody and everybody else in the world. Everyone sins. And because of it, judgment day is coming. There will be a day when the Lord returns and everyone will be held accountable for their actions, their sins. That's why it's called Judgment Day. He's judging us. But Zephaniah 3:8 tells us something particular about Judgment Day. Therefore, wait, declares the Lord, until the day I rise to testify. Oh, the Lord's going to testify, like in a courtroom. For my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out upon them my indignation, all my burning anger. For all the earth will be consumed by the fire of my jealousy. That's what Zephaniah 3:8 says. The burning fire of the Lord's outrage over our sin, our disobedience and disregard for his good and holy law, our abuse of his creation, it's being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly, as 2 Peter 3:7 tells us. For the ungodly. That's what St. Peter says in his second letter. The fire of God's wrath on judgment day is for the ungodly, those who reject the testimony of Christ, given by credible eyewitnesses and collaborated by history. What did we hear in the gospel reading? The unbelieving rich man. He died and was in torment in Hades. It's the source of our cover art on your bulletin. Might be a little disturbing, right? But it's the reality. And at the end of the reading, this tormented rich man asks for someone, anyone, to be sent to his father's house to warn his brothers so that they don't end up with him in torment forever. Non-Christians are the ones who have something to fear. They should be very afraid. The fire isn't for you who believe. It's where they will end up if they don't believe the credible testimony of the one who testifies, Christ Jesus. The one who came back from the dead, just as that rich man asked. But if someone came back from the dead, oh no, no, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, that is the Old Testament, if they don't believe the law, they're not going to believe even if someone comes back from the dead. But you see how God actually fulfilled the man's request? Jesus did come back from the dead. And yet still everybody's hearts are hardened. Well, not everybody. Those who reject the testimony. Those who are like the rich man in his pride. Jesus came back. The apostles wrote down what he did. That's what we have in the New Testament. We have the rich man's answer to his prayer. We have the man back from the dead. Our scriptures are what he asked for. Now, the Greek word for fear that's used in this 1 John pericope is phobos. It's important to notice that because there are a number of different words for fear. And here we have one of the most common to all of us. It's the word that gives us phobia, right? Like arachnophobia. Anybody scared of spiders? Yeah? It's funny in our house. My son does not like spiders at all. I don't blame them. They're kind of creepy. But, okay, arachnophobia, phobos. The phobia of God, the fear of God, of his judgment day, is a phobia that no Christian should have. None. We're not afraid of God. He's our shield, as he told Abram. He's our loving father through Christ. Our selfless brother is who God is. He's the Holy Spirit that's united us to the death and resurrection of our Lord. The judgment of sin that took place on Jesus' cross, we have already been connected to.
Right?
Judgment Day has already happened for each and every one of you who believe. Christians can be, should be, phobia free. God is not your enemy. Your Heavenly Father is not out to get you. He's on your side. Christ's your friend, your greatest friend, your ally. He enables us to skip through life toward Judgment Day, whistling hymns of praise and singing, "Come, Lord, come quickly, bring the fire, come." However, among non-Christians, the phobia remains. It's so great that non-Christians spend much of their time, even at the subconscious level, even if it's only at the subconscious level, they spend much of their time avoiding anything and everything that has to do with Jesus, the one who is the way in which we come to know the one true God. They'll talk about a creator. They'll talk about a God. But if you start identifying him the way he has identified himself, oh, no, I don't want to talk about Jesus. Jesus makes unbelievers uncomfortable. For some, the phobia is so severe that their skin crawls at the thought of Christ. Because when he's in their minds, so are their sins. He makes all of us confront our sinfulness. Because he died not for kicks and giggles, but for our sin. That's why he died for you. To remove your sin. He's the reality of sin. Scripture talks about him. He is sin. The ultimate consequence. He's the judge. Think of spiders. You might go, "Ah, Jesus, squash him. That guy, get him out of here." Like people with a misunderstanding of spiders, so too do unbelievers have a misunderstanding of Jesus. Spiders creep people out. But they're actually helpful. They're a good thing. And yet there's an abundance of arachnophobia in the world. Jesus isn't out to get you. He shouldn't creep you out. He isn't your destruction or your imprisonment. He isn't anger and wrath. He saves you from the fires that come with his return on Judgment Day. The fire is a good thing. It is the purging of sin that life may blossom. God loves you. His sole mission is to save you from danger, is to save you from yourself. We're what we should be afraid of. We should fear the harm we inflict upon ourselves. When we catch Jesus in a tissue and flush him down the drain, no need for that guy. Sin phobia is what we should have, not Christophobia. You can't not sin. You are a sinner. Everyone is. That's the source of fear, for there's punishment involved in sinning. That's what this whole world is trying to ignore. As we try to think things aren't sins and make them okay, we're saying, "I don't want to confront the consequence of this being bad." You're not perfect. If you die before Judgment Day comes, what's going to happen? Jesus is going to happen. The judge is going to happen. As you meet your maker, so they say, right? They say that in the old westerns. They don't really say that much anymore. Oh, meet your maker. But Christian, you know that already. You know where you're going. That's what the cross is all about. That's why we focus on that every single week. You've already been judged. You've already been condemned. You've already died and suffered your punishment. You've already done those things. Because Christ's death is your death. That's what baptism is about. It connects you to him. So what is his is yours, and yours is his. There's a reversal involved. Your life for his life. His death for your death. Your resurrection to come follows in the first fruits of his resurrection already occurred. This is why you skip merrily to the playground. Because the punishment has already been doled out. The new heavens and the new earth are all that await you. No fire. No judgment. No changing of the verdict. Your verdict has been pronounced. God is good and just. He is faithful. He does not wake up on the bad side of the bed, wrong side of the bed, and change his verdict. Nope. It's already been determined. Believe in that guy. Heaven is your future. The fire isn't for you. You've already endured your punishment. You know Christ has already atoned for your sins. If you don't, listen to me really carefully right now. Christ has already atoned for your sins. Okay? All of them. He took all the sins you've ever committed and all the sins you will ever commit, even though you don't want to commit them. And he has taken them and he's already bared them on his shoulders upon the cross. He is your justifier. You are justified. He is your redeemer. You are redeemed. You have been made holy. You have nothing to fear. Christ is your ally. God's on your side, fighting for you, not against you. He's on everyone's side. If only they would stop rejecting his verdict, stop rejecting his kindness, stop rejecting his mercy and love, his protection. You've been given the Holy Spirit. In baptism, he came and now dwells within you. Even if you've been pushing him out, he's there. Turn back to your baptism. And that's it. He's there waiting to love you. Your relationship with God isn't one of fear, but of love and mercy. God loves you. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. God abides in you. He loves you. You know judgment day is coming. That's the day where you who are repentant and believe in Christ Jesus, you will receive the reward that Jesus has earned for you upon the cross, that you've been waiting for. For you have been forgiven and declared holy. Free to live forever with Christ. That's what's coming for you on Judgment Day. Not punishment, for there is nothing to fear. So, I implore you, go right on whistling. And if your hips and knees will bear it, maybe even skip a little now and then. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep you in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.